This is the point in the recording where I update you on any events or subsequent history that might affect any Fenn's cases, at least those that I've discussed in the recent past. And there's been no review granted in any recent Fenn's cases except for those I have mentioned in earlier recordings. This month, however, as I alerted you to in the introduction, I want to broaden the subsequent history coverage to cover issues that are pending before the California Supreme Court that are related to issues I've covered before on Fenn's, even if they are arising in cases that I have not specifically discussed before. And this discussion will also include a California case that is currently pending before the United States Supreme Court, the Viking River Cruises case. There are three cases that I need to include in this segment, and I will provide citation information about all of them in the case list under the subsequent history track. Case number one, this is Moriana against Viking River Cruises. I did not report on this case because it was an unpublished CalApp opinion. That is why on the case list I can only provide the Westlaw site. But in December of 2021, the U.S. Supreme Court granted review in the case. The case was argued in March, and since that is the month I'm working on now, it caught my attention. I do expect a decision by the end of June, well, or maybe later if this recent link on the overruling of Roe v. Wade causes the court's work to slow down this year. The issue is the waiver of an arbitration agreement of the right to bring private attorney general act claims, known as PAGA claims, or I call them PAGA claims, the waiver of the right to bring PAGA claims in state court, is it enforceable under the Federal Arbitration Act? As we all know, under well-settled California precedent, often called the Iskanian Doctrine after the Iskanian case, California courts will not deny plaintiffs the right to bring their PAGA claims in court, even though there is an otherwise enforceable arbitration agreement that provides for a waiver of that right. The reasoning has been that an arbitration agreement is only valid if the parties to the arbitration agreement have entered into a valid agreement. A PAGA claim is a claim brought by an individual on behalf of the state government acting in the interest of the public. That makes the state an interested party in the claim, and if the state did not sign an arbitration agreement, which it certainly has not, then the arbitration agreement is unenforceable against any such claim. The waiver of PAGA claims is also viewed as a violation of public policy. The facts in the Viking River Cruises case are typical. The employee sued her employer, raising PAGA claims for certain violations of the labor code. Defendant employer moved to compel arbitration, arguing that the U.S. Supreme Court's 2018 decision in Epic Systems had effectively overruled the California Supreme Court's opinion in Iskanian. The trial court disagreed and denied the motion. Defendant appealed to the Second District. In its unreported opinion, the Court of Appeal cited to a number of California cases decided post-Epic Systems in which the Court of Appeal consistently held that the Epic Systems decision had no impact on Iskanian. That is because Epic Systems dealt with an entirely different issue, whether or not the arbitration agreement somehow violated the National Labor Relations Act. That is different from the rights under the PAGA, which makes the state the real party in interest. The California Supreme Court denied review, and the U.S. Supreme Court granted the petition for cert. As I said, arguments in the case were completed in March. There are some predictions that, given the current makeup of the court, there are fewer justices willing to protect consumers and employees from boilerplate arbitration agreements. If so, then Iskanian could be on its last legs. I refuse to predict on the basis of oral arguments, but it does look like Iskanian may be in some trouble. I will alert you as soon as we know its fate. Now, the next two cases of interest are Ninth Circuit cases in which the Ninth Circuit has asked the California court to answer a certified question. The first of these cases is Yahoo, Inc. against National Union Fire Insurance Company of Pittsburgh. The question in the case arises out of the construction of the provisions of a general commercial liability policy. The policy provides coverage for personal injury, and the definition of personal injury in the policy includes an injury that arises out of an oral or written publication, in any manner, of material that violates a person's right of privacy. According to the Ninth Circuit's according to the Ninth Circuit opinion that I read, courts nationwide are divided as to whether such a provision covers injury solely to the right of seclusion, such as where the insured's unsolicited advertising message disturbs the recipient's privacy but does not reveal private information. In this case, the complaint against Yahoo was that the plaintiff had received unsolicited advertising messages that intruded on his privacy in the sense that his seclusion was intruded upon. The solicitation was a violation of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, the TCPA. Invasion of privacy also occurs when the material published is to a third person and it reveals some secret or private information about the claimant. So I'm going to refer to these as two different types of invasion of privacy. There's the invasion of privacy as invasion of secrecy. That's telling something private about me to someone else. And then there's the invasion of privacy. That's invasion of my seclusion. And that's just your unwantedly coming into my space and zapping me with advertising I don't want. There are two California appellate courts on the question of insurance coverage when the claim is an advertising injury under the TCPA. In the first case discussed by the court, the coverage language in the policy fairly clearly described only this second cause second type of invasion of privacy, the one I call invasion of secrecy. And the injury suffered was only an evasion of the right of seclusion. So that court held no coverage. In the second case, the coverage language in the policy was closer to the facts in our Yahoo case. The language in the policy covered invasions of privacy. An invasion of seclusion is an evasion of privacy. But the court in that case construed the language in the policy to apply only to the publication of material that invaded privacy and construed that to mean publication to a third party that would make the covered harm be an invasion of secrecy, which this was not. That case, however, is 15 years old. It's been disagreed with by courts around the country, and the California Supreme Court has never spoken on this issue. And so the question presented to the California Supreme Court is whether language in an insurance policy covering advertising harms that invade someone's privacy provide coverage to an insured whose invasion is only of the claimant's seclusion and not their secrecy. The federal district court had ruled in favor of the insurance company. Now we will have to wait for the California Supreme Court to learn the correct California rule. And now finally, the second case from the Ninth Circuit is Rattigan against Uber Technologies. In this case, the plaintiff is a lawyer in Argentina, and he became involved in a proposed launch of Uber's ride-sharing platform in Argentina. The entire story is complicated, but suffice it to say, the plaintiff got into severe legal trouble in Argentina, and he suffered reputational and other harms, allegedly because Uber launched its program earlier than planned without letting him know, and there were certain legal actions he was supposed to have taken before it was launched. He sued Uber on various theories, but the only claim surviving on this appeal is a claim for fraudulent concealment. The issue in the case is whether or not the economic loss rule bars his tort claim. As you know, a party to a contract is generally limited to contract damages, and generally that is measured in economic loss due to loss of the benefit of the bargain, or as some would say, unmet expectations. But here, the claim is for additional harms caused by Uber. Harms beyond the benefit of the bargain, harms that would be recoverable under a tort theory of recovery. But the economic loss rule gets in the way and generally prevents such recoveries. If the only loss is an economic loss beyond the contract loss, then there is no recovery unless there is an independent tort committed. And what counts as an independent tort is a matter treated differently throughout the country. In California, the Supreme Court has spoken once on this issue. In the Robinson helicopter case decided in 2004. In that case, the tort involved in the contract case was fraudulent misrepresentation. That requires an affirmative act by the defendant. Silence or concealment is not that type of affirmative act. The Supreme Court ruled that fraudulent misrepresentation was a valid claim despite the economic loss rule, but it specifically withheld saying anything about fraudulent concealment, recognizing that would be a different case. And so now the time has come. The question certified to the California Supreme Court is, under California law, are claims for fraudulent concealment exempted from the economic loss rule? And that's the end of my subsequent history and update on pending issues.